One Bible verse that's often misquoted is, "Money is the root of all evil." The actual verse, which is found in 1 Timothy 6:10, says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." I am Rob West. Money is a useful tool for reaching personal goals, supporting loved ones, and serving those in need. But no matter how necessary it is for daily living, money should not become an object of devotion. We'll talk about that today, and then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, some people believe money is what makes life worthwhile. For the worldly mind, money seems to promise security, success, freedom, and power. The Christian worldview holds that only God can meet our deepest needs, so we put our trust and hope in Jesus, not in temporary things. Still, we all need and use money every day. Everyone deals with temptations to worry about money, or fight about it, or overspend it, or even hoard it. That's why the Bible offers so much wisdom for putting money in its proper place. Getting back to our verse in 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils," to find out what evils Paul is talking about, we can look back at verse 9. "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." So the first problem with loving money is this: wanting to get rich can actually destroy your life. When the longing for wealth consumes your thinking and defines your priorities, well, it leads to temptations, foolishness, and harmful desires. The end result of these is ruin and destruction. Another danger is that craving money can derail your faith in God. 1 Timothy 6:10 continues, "Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." I don't think Paul is overstating the problem here. Faith in God is the way of peace. Wandering off his path can be a painful experience. Next, loving money too much makes it an idol, replacing God as the highest priority. Instead, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." The Bible also explains that loving money and God at the same time is not possible. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus warned us that no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Finally, you'll have to admit it, money is never really enough. Have you ever really wanted something and when you got it, you realized it wasn't as great as you expected? Well, that's just what happens when you try to accumulate money for its own sake. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money." The fact is, only Jesus can satisfy the desires of your heart. Ultimately, loving money opens the door for sins like greed, fear, pride, envy, and dishonesty to take hold, leading you away from the Lord. All this can destroy your peace and ruin your witness. Of course, money itself is neutral, neither good nor bad. Like possessions or prescription drugs or relationships or food, it's not the thing itself that's evil. It's what you think about it and what you do with it that can become a problem. Let me read those verses from 1 Timothy again. "Those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." So what we need now is a way out of temptation. The next verses explain how Christians, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can actually avoid the dangers of loving money. Listen to this: "Flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." The world offers us many things that demand our loyalty and affection. Money is just one of those things. And as believers in Christ, we're called to flee from foolish desires, stay faithful to God, and hold on to our hope of eternal life. If we can help you with that, visit us at faithfi.com. All right, let's take your calls next. The number 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. They were written decades ago, the Chronicles of Narnia and the Lord of the Rings, but they're still capturing our imaginations. Why is that? I think it's because these stories are so similar to reality. A struggle between two kingdoms, one of darkness, one of light. It's so similar to what Paul talked about in Colossians, that God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. But the Bible story is true, and it comes with a plot twist. You and I started on the side of evil, but God, so rich in mercy, has rescued us through the great King who died for us. See Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, we started with something a little heavier today, just trying to encourage you. You know, the world would have us to worship the creation over the creator in this area of money. You see, money is a good creation, a good gift from the Lord. The question is, do we have it in its proper context? And each day on this broadcast, we want to be sure you're worshiping the creator. I'm looking at myself as well and not falling into the traps of this world that would have us look at money as an end as opposed to a means to an end. But the question here today is, once we do that, then how can we live out that faithful life of stewardship, a manager of God's money in the daily decisions that we have to make as we live, give, owe, and grow? Well, we want to help you do that on this program every day in light of biblical truth. So let's hear what you are thinking about today in your financial life and tackle it together. We've got lines open. We're ready for you. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Give us a call and let's tackle your financial questions today. All right, we're going to begin in New Jersey today. Celine, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
And I need a receipt. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. I can't give you that receipt, but I can try to help you with your financial question.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure I got to get gas.
It's no problem.
Anyway, I'm calling about umbrella insurance. I'm not sure if I even need it. It's through my car insurer, and my homeowners is with a separate insurer. So, anyway, I own my own home, which is valued at about $400,000. I own my own car, which is valued at approximately $50,000. And all of my assets combined, including my savings and my emergency fund, I have a small annuity, and I have a couple hundred in investments. I have $400,000. My car insurance, I have pretty good thresholds. Like, it's pretty strong car insurance. Yeah. Do I need umbrella insurance?
I like umbrella insurance a lot, Celine. I have an umbrella insurance policy, and I really think everyone should if you can fit it into the budget, and here's why. It's relatively inexpensive, so often it will just be a few $100 a year. It could be a little bit more depending on how much coverage you get. Often folks will get up to $1 million. You might even get up to $2 million in coverage. And the reason why you would is it kicks in beyond your base liability limits for your policies. So when you reach the liability limit for homeowners insurance, excuse me, and for car insurance, at that point, the umbrella insurance would kick in and pay beyond that. Now, what would be some examples of where that would come into place? Your dog bites someone. You drive your car into a building and there's, you know, obviously major damage. You accidentally injure someone. You're on a board of directors of a charity. You're sued for a board-related issue. Your teen is sued, or your child causes damage to someone else's property. I mean, in our litigious society, could an award for one of those things that happens completely accidentally, but because it was you or a family member, a dependent that caused it, could that go beyond your typical liability coverage of homeowners and auto? Absolutely. Because a lot of those cap out at $500,000. And, you know, we could see, you know, judgments or awards given well beyond that. And that's where an umbrella policy is just a great thing to have to offset that risk. Does that make sense?
It does. And thank you for giving me peace of mind. So I just, and real quick, if you have time for one quick thing,
sure.
When I was interviewed, the gentleman, Rob, mentioned that I should mention this. I have my emergency fund, and my heating and air conditioning systems, it was getting old, and it was a total God thing that someone had to do something up in my attic, and the unit was leaking. So I did my research, and I had three or four different people come out to give me an estimate for a new HVAC system. And my head was spinning, and different systems, different prices. So I said a prayer, and I asked the Lord to send me, please, the person that I could trust, the type of unit that I needed that was appropriate for my house.
Sure.
And the next person who came was one of my former students. I was a high school teacher. He was
former
students. We caught up. I feel so confident about the system that I bought is the right size for my home at the right price. And I'm so grateful.
So, Celine, I'm so glad you shared that. You know, so often I think we fail to invite God into the daily decisions that we're making. And here you ask God for some wisdom and direction. And what do you know? He provided with a friendly face and hopefully a really reliable system. I'm really glad you did share that. I'm glad Robert encouraged you to do so. Hey, Celine, thanks for your call today. Thanks for being on the program. May the Lord bless you. Folks, we're taking your calls and questions today. I love talking to our listeners. It's amazing to hear your stories and to be invited into your journeys. And, you know, when we talk about this money issue, so often it's about anything other than money, right? Money is just symptomatic of underneath that, the spiritual issues, the relational issues, God's direction. Money is just that tool that makes it all come into being, and we want to direct it accordingly so we can use it as God intended, and that's what I love talking about here with you each day. By the way, we've got two lines open right now at 800-525-7000. Now, let's go to New York. Hi, Charlie. Go ahead.
Good morning, Rob. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. And you as well.
Thank you. I've got a 401k and a conventional IRA. I'm starting to invest in stocks. A couple questions I have. A percentage of retirement account or total assets for stock investment and a time frame when we're dealing with stock investment? I know they're kind of long term, but I wanted your opinion on time frame.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Let me ask a couple of questions, Charlie. What is your age?
60.
Okay. And just based on everything you know today, how long do you plan to continue to work in your current profession before you might transition to what God has next for you?
Actually, I'm semi-retired now.
Okay. All right. Very good. And are you living off of any of your retirement assets or just your part-time income?
Part-time income.
Okay. And that's enough to cover your bills?
Correct.
All right. And what do you have in retirement assets today?
Dollar amount?
Yes.
Roughly $200,000. Not, no savings or checking or anything. I got some substantial cash, but $200,000 in 401k and conventional IRA.
Okay, very good. And are you continuing to add to either of these retirement accounts?
I am not.
Okay. All right. And when you get to retirement, and perhaps you're going to continue in this part-time work is, you know, indefinitely, and that's great. I don't think we ought to subscribe automatically to the, you know, cultural perspective on retirement that there's this magic age where we should cease to be productive and we get a gold watch and sit on the front porch. I mean, God created us to be workers and to be productive. Now, that will look different over time, and we need to prepare for that season where we can no longer work for pay because maybe we're unable. But I would say we need to always be looking for what God has in terms of a calling on our life. But let's say you were to stop working for pay. Do you have a budget dialed in, and do you believe Social Security is enough to cover that, or do you think you'd need more on top of that?
No, Social Security, and I have a rental income house.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah, very good. Okay, let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, but that's really all the background I need. When we come back, we'll talk about how to think about that right allocation, the mix of investments, and the time horizon. These are great questions, Charlie. More to come on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio just around the corner. Call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Progressive elites in Hollywood, big tech, mainstream media, and higher academia are lying to our next generation. They want to convince our young people that America's biblical foundation is offensive, outdated, and must be overthrown. Your gift today will unleash AFA action to share the timeless truth of why protecting the biblical family is essential to the survival of the American Republic. You'll also get the free DVD and booklet set, Progressive Threat to the American Republic. Visit AFAaction.net.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
How do you deal with it when the person that you're caring for doesn't show gratitude? We're not in bondage to other people's gratitude. He came with no thought of our gratitude. He loved us while we were enemies. Who are we to withhold that which was given so lavishly to us?
Join Peter Rosenberger on Hope for the Caregiver, Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Sundays at 10 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hey, great to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we want God to be our ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Let's head back to the phones. By the way, all the lines are full, so if you're getting a busy signal, we'd encourage you just to keep trying. Also, sit back and enjoy some great questions coming up. Before the break, we were talking to Charlie in New York. Charlie is semi-retired. He's got some retirement assets of about $200,000. That's separate from the other liquid assets that he has in cash and savings, not to mention a rental property. The rental income plus his part-time work is what's covering his bills, but he believes Social Security alone will be enough when that time comes to cover his bills, so he lives modestly. And just wondering how he should think about the investment allocation for this these retirement accounts totaling a couple of hundred thousand. And Charlie, what I would say to that is, you know, as a starting point would be a good rule of thumb. We used to do the rule of 100, where you'd take 100 minus your age, and that's the portion you'd have in stocks, the balance you would put in fixed income investments. Now, because people are living longer, we've bumped that up to the rule of 110. So if we take 110 minus your age of 60, it would come out, you know, with a starting point of a roughly 50-50 portfolio, 50% stocks, 50% bonds. Now, you may want to dial that up and be a little bit more aggressive. You may want to be a little more conservative. You may want an allocation to precious metals of 5% or 10% at the most, and you'd have to factor that in. But I think that would at least give you a starting point, because here's the idea. Even though you're 60, you know, we still need to be looking, and this was the second part of your question, we still need to be looking at, you know, maybe 35 years plus for, you know, this money in terms of a time horizon, because we want this to last the rest of your life. We don't know how long the Lord has for you. None of us do, but we need to certainly plan to age 95 or beyond. And the good news is, because you've lived modestly, because you're continuing to work and will do so for the foreseeable future, and because you don't even really need these assets to live on apart from something unexpected, which we'll talk about that in a moment, I think you're in really good shape just to, you know, build in an investment portfolio that has some growth to offset inflation, but is still fairly conservative. The last thing I'll say is probably the biggest risk you have in this season of life is long-term care, just given how expensive that is and continuing to rise. You know, in-home nursing, full nursing care could run $9,000 a month. So if anything is going to erode your assets in this season, it's that. And so for that reason, the only other thing I might say is, you know, take a look at long-term care insurance. It's not cheap, but it could be a great option. But give me your thoughts on all that.
No, I didn't think about the long-term care, but that's what I plan on, staying home, you know, when the health does change. But I was also, you know, curious about time frame. You know, once you start investing in stocks, it's, you, rule of thumb, minimum 1 year, minimum 2 year, what, minimum 5 year before you start making changes?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you just need to always approach it with a long-term perspective. So, you know, I'm looking at it buying something for 10 years, and typically with a portfolio of this size, of $200,000, you're probably not buying. I mean, you could, but you typically wouldn't be buying individual stocks. You'd probably want a little bit more diversification than you could get with individual stocks with a couple hundred thousand. So typically you'd look at either exchange-traded funds or mutual funds, which give you good broad diversification. And as long as they're solid funds, low expenses, great performance, you know, good track record, great manager, and you've got the right mix of stocks and bonds that's appropriate for your age and risk tolerance, then we're not looking to get out in 6 months or a year or even 2 years. We're buying them for the long haul. Now, you typically do that with a stock investment as well, buy it for the long haul. Now, if you're an active money manager, and I would say for the average person who's managing a retirement account, I wouldn't put the average person in this category. This would be really somebody who's a professional. You know, obviously they're managing a lot of money and they're actively managing the portfolio. And so news comes out, they may sell a stock and replace it with something else, or they may rotate from one sector to the other. But that's a little bit more active and hands-on than I would expect or even encourage a typical investor to do, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, uniquely enough, my conventional IRA, I had it to a friend's investor, and actually he did not do well. I lost money. I'm doing better and have been doing better with my own investing.
Okay. Yeah, and so are you buying individual equities and buying and selling them on news and that kind of thing?
I bought through investment company. I bought some individual stocks in the old 401k. When I was working with that company, I have company stock and they pay dividends. But I was wondering, too, could I get your opinion on two individual stocks?
You know, I can't weigh in on individual holdings, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's a great question.
Understood.
Yeah. Well, listen, all the best to you, Charlie. Sounds like you're doing great. I love that you've taken an interest in this. You're really leaning into it, and obviously you've done well. And I think, you know, it sounds like you're well-planned for the future, living modestly, and should be in really great shape. So, hey, all the best to you, and call anytime if we can be of assistance to you. May God bless you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Harold. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Good. My mother-in-law is going to leave us her house when she passes, and I've heard you talk about to have her put it in a trust or something of that nature so it doesn't give us a lot of financial problems when she passes. Can you expound on some of that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So you can transfer your home just through a simple will. I mean, that's certainly possible. But often folks will use one of two tools, and you would want to get into the finer points of this with an estate attorney, somebody who would do your will or a power of attorney, those kinds of things. Number one would be what's called a transfer on death deed. And that basically is just where you retitle the property in the name of a transfer on death deed, which then bypasses probate when that time comes. Just makes it a little bit more efficient, the transfer process. It also skips the expense associated with probate related to that particular asset. Similarly, a revocable trust can be used in part for real estate. The property has to be retitled in the name of the trust, but it allows somebody, a trustee, to control the property in the event that you're incapacitated, and then ultimately dispose of the property, meaning sell it and pass the proceeds on outside of probate according to the trust documents, you know, either before, during, or after your death. So those are the tools you'd want to talk about with your attorney. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom Advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, let me remind you that Faith and Finance is listener supported. That means we rely on your support to bring you this program every day and all the great resources we have to help you be a wise and faithful steward. And so my ask is this: if you'd consider a gift of any size to FaithFi, we'd certainly be grateful. It would go a long way toward helping us to accomplish what God has put before us in terms of our vision here at FaithFi. You can head to our website to do that. Just go to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Right there at the top of the page, it says give. You can set up a monthly gift as a financial partner or make a one-time gift of any amount. Again, we'd certainly be grateful and we could use your assistance. Faithfi.com, just click give. Coming up in our next segment, Jerry Boyer will stop by. We always look forward to Jerry's insights related to the markets and corporate engagement, the economy. Jerry will weigh in with his interesting and insightful comments just around the corner. I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime, I'm also looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. And so let's dive back in. We got a lot of great ones coming up. And we will go to Jimmy in Texas. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hello, Rob.
Hi there.
Thank you so much for your show. I appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you. That's very kind.
My question is, I turned 65 this year in September, and I was wanting to know if Dingham Advisor is the direction to go, having to do with Medicaid and all of these steps. I plan on to keep working, hopefully till 75 before I consider anything else. And okay. So I'm just wanting to know what steps I need to take to make sure I am able to get the maximum amount of Social Security and everything else.
Yeah, very good. Do you have investable assets, Jimmy, that you need somebody to manage? Or are you really thinking about just the planning side of it, or both?
Probably both. Right now I'm with Edward Jones.
Okay.
And I'm trying to push everything together and make sure that I do everything as biblically as I possibly can.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let me just say, Edward Jones is a great firm, and they have, you know, it's massive. They have 19,000 advisors, and many of them are certified Kingdom advisors. In fact, we'll have, I think, nearly 100 of them at the Kingdom Advisors Conference in Orlando next week. So could be that you stay right there at Edward Jones. But if you did want to look for an advisor, you know, you could certainly go to our website at faithfi.com. You know, I think the key for you, Jimmy, heading into this season of life,
life is, you know, you do need to start thinking about just making sure you're well planned. And that would most often include just making sure your estate plan is in order. So you'd want to visit with a godly estate attorney to make sure you have a will and, you know, a living will for end of life decisions. Not that we're planning on you going home to be with the Lord anytime soon, but we all need to have these things in place. A healthcare directive that would give somebody the ability to make healthcare decisions if you were incapacitated. A durable power of attorney, which is the same thing for legal and financial matters. So I think that's important, but also thinking through just your wealth transfer plan. You know, the only place you can leave your money is the government, heirs, or charity. And so you just want to be intentional about that. Secondly, you want to be thinking about what are your income sources going to be? Namely, what does your budget look like? How much do you need to live on? A lot of times folks will live on about 80%, 70 to 80% of their pre-retirement income because expenses drop in this season in most categories, not healthcare, but others. You know, kids are off the payroll. Hopefully you're out of debt. So there's no mortgage payment maybe. You're not saving for retirement anymore. That comes out of the budget. So, you know, it brings expenses down, but we need to make sure we have the income sources to offset that. And that's one of the reasons we will often say, let's try to delay Social Security to age 70 if we can, because then you're going to get 8% a year increase locked in above what you're scheduled to get at full retirement age. And you can find that amount out at SSA.gov. My SSA would give you your benefits statement. But that's one of the reasons why we try to get that number up. But then often folks, and really you should have other assets growing that would serve as a supplement to Social Security, and those need to be managed. So, and then finally, you need to look at whether or not you would want to get long-term care insurance. And then, of course, as you said, you're going to need to sign up for Part A and Part B of Medicare when you turn 65 so you don't avoid any gaps in coverage or late enrollment penalties unless you already have existing coverage that's covering that. So all of those things could be handled by either an estate attorney or a certified kingdom advisor who could help you with both the planning as well as the investment management. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. It sure does.
Okay. Very good. Well, listen, all the best to you, Jimmy, in this season of life. I know it's an exciting one. And hey, you stay on the line. I want to send you a book. My friend Jeff Hanen wrote a wonderful book called An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, Finding God's Purpose for the Next Season of Life. I want to send it to you. I think it'll be a blessing to you and perhaps give you some other thoughts as you just consider what God has for you as you head into this next season. So stay on the line. We'll get that book right out to you. May the Lord bless you. Thomas, there in Texas, you've been waiting very patiently, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, Ron.
Hi.
The question that I have is, I'm pulling my tithes and offerings out of my IRA. I have a cash account in that. And I thought I heard you say, and I don't know that I caught the full gist of it. It's quite okay. It's, you know, it's, that's acceptable. And it does exceed my required minimum deduction, which is taking care of that too, which
that's great.
I'm 73 years old, but I thought you might've said, make sure your church knows how to do that, how to log that or validate that or.
Yeah, it's not complicated, Thomas. So they should receive these pretty frequently. I mean, it's a lesser known gift method just because unfortunately not enough people know about it, but a church should be fairly familiar with it. And again, it's not complicated. I mean, the IRS basically says, you know, you need to get a written acknowledgement of the contribution from the charitable organization. Well, your church is already sending donor statements out anyway. And then, you know, what they say, the IRS is in general, and it can vary. There's not a specific format, but it needs to have this, you know, the date of the gift, the amount of the contribution, and indicate whether you received anything of value in return. And then that would allow you to then log this because that QCD is going to come on a 1099-R along with any distributions from your IRA. It's not deductible on Schedule A, but you are able to put in the amount of the QCD so it doesn't end up getting added to your taxable income. And that receipt that your church would provide would be the, you know, the justification for that if you're ever challenged by the IRS.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
That answers the question, and we appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, my friend, and thanks for calling today and for your patience. Call anytime. Hi, Karen in Arkansas. Go right ahead.
I would like to know, if we buy a truck, or let's say we give $40,000 to our son to buy a truck, would we be penalized when our income tax, when it's time to report to the IRS, or would he have to report that as income?
Yeah, you would have to file a gift form with the IRS, but there's no tax on it. So you can give him $18,000 a year. If you're married, between you and your husband, you could give him $36,000 without telling anybody about it. But when you go above $18,000 per person, $18,000 for you to your son and $18,000 for your husband to your son, then you've got to file IRS gift form 709. It'll eat away at your lifetime exemption of $13 million, but no taxes until you get above $13 million in gifts. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Today's Issues is American Family Radio's flagship program featuring AFA President Tim Wildman.
They're going to deny this till the Lord comes back.
Right. And other staff and friends of the American Family Association.
Did they leak this? Was it intentional? Was it an accident? We want more answers.
It's a part of history. You know, we need to know.
Today's Issues, with the help of American Family News, making sense of the issues of the day. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you being honest and dependable in your personal money matters? Honesty is one of the first things Jesus requires of new believers. When some tax collectors approached Jesus to be baptized, they asked, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." You need to be honest to be effective for God's kingdom work.
Tune in to Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, where God is our ultimate treasure. Money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to encourage you and take you back to God's Word as we mine the scriptures and apply principles to the decisions and choices you're making every day. We've got some lines open. We'll have room for probably two or three more phone calls this segment before we round out the broadcast. The number to call is 800-525-7000. But first, we have Jerry Boyer here. He joins us each Friday. Jerry's our good friend. He's our resident economist, and he shares his insightful analysis with us each Friday during this segment. Jerry, you and I will be together in just a couple of days.
I'm really looking forward to that.
I am as well. 2,200 of our friends, Kingdom Advisors, gathering in Orlando to make a lot of the name of Jesus and also learn how to apply biblical wisdom. Jerry, you'll be teaching a couple of times on virtue in the markets as well as corporate engagement, right?
Yes, I'm having a conversation interviewing David Bonson, a Christian financial advisor, about the necessity for Christian virtue in the markets, why markets are a virtuous institution, meaning that having an economic system based on markets rather than government control is more consistent with Christian virtue, but also why we need to act virtuously in the marketplace. That it doesn't free markets are great. Free markets are the better system, but they don't work very well if we're dishonest. I think I just heard a promo from you talking about, a minute ago, talking about the importance of honesty, one of the first things, you know, that we're supposed to learn as Christians. Well, that's not just a good thing to learn in terms of our moral formation, but it also makes an economy run much better.
Yes, that's exactly right. And then the second is corporate engagement, which the opportunity is enormous. And because of your great work and others, I think we're really seeing a lot more movement just in terms of what Christians are able to do by expressing their values in the boardroom.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank God for AFA, which has really taken a lead on this, using its shares to engage with the companies that it owns. It's become a major player in this very quickly, an area in which Christians have really not been very involved at all. So I've heard Christians complain a lot about corporate America. They don't like something with Disney. They don't like something that, you know, that some company is doing. Maybe like, for instance, Home Depot had a, you know, bought a float at the Gay Pride Parade. They stood up and did a boycott, and, you know, they ended up conceding on that point. But, you know, Home Depot, that was kind of the story of the week, has been taking a lot of positions on a lot of issues which are really strongly at variance with a Christian worldview. And so AFA basically sent us in there to say, hey, listen, talk to them. Use that shareholder authority to tell them, you know, what our concerns are.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly right. You know, Jerry, how you sit down at the computer over the weekend and sometimes 30 minutes later, you're kind of lost in this trail. This past weekend, I was on the World News Group's website and then got to your article about the work that you're doing on behalf of AFA. And next thing I know, I was looking at the shareholder packet of information from Apple for the upcoming meeting on proposal number 5. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, right there in front of me was this proposal that you put forward that says, you know, Apple is essentially using its corporate reputation and funds to support groups hostile to the freedom of expression. And Jerry, it's just incredible that that's right there in the documents.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm kind of reminded of the book of Acts. Jesus said, you're going to stand before kings, and I'm going to tell you what to say. Now, you know, we don't have a lot of kings in the world anymore, and I'm glad for that. I like electoral politics better. I don't always like the results, but I like the system better. The kings of our world now are the CEOs of major corporations. So AFA and Bonson and others are now using their role as shareholders to stand before kings. Right, so there it is. It's right there. That proxy statement that went to the SEC, that went to the shareholders, that went to the board of directors, that went to the CEO, and they're seeing the argument that AFA is making, that they should not be deplatforming content based on religious or political criteria. And there seems to clearly be a pattern of deplatforming Christian content. And then you know what else is going to happen? Walker Wildman's going to give a speech to the board of directors. And to the shareholders and to the top management. And they're going to sit there and they're going to hear that speech. They might like it. They might not. Often there's some who like it and some who don't. But they're all going to have to hear it. They're all going to have to hear the argument for religious liberty being made, and they're going to have to respond to it.
Mm. Well, well done, Jerry. It's great work and excited to hear the outcome of that one. And I know there's many more behind that. So great work, my friend. Hey, give us just kind of an update on where we're at. I mean, I'm seeing the headline today is inflation in December was even lower than first reported, the government says. I mean, where do we find ourselves today?
Well, I think we find ourselves in a situation where, you know, it's perceived that we've beaten inflation. I think that's a little premature. But I do think the economy is slowing down a bit this quarter. And when that happens, you have a little bit of a decrease in demand. People are, if the economy is slowing down and people have negative feelings about the economy, they don't spend as much. I do not believe we're in a boom. I've heard people talk that way. I don't think that's the case. I think this year that growth is going to be lower than historic averages. I think the markets are interesting because they have detached from the Fed a little bit, because the Fed has pretty much been saying, hey, you are all pretty much 100% sure that we're going to cut rates this year Probably not. And markets have really shifted their expectation in terms of rate cuts from the Fed. Now, normally, that means that markets would say the Fed's going to be, you know, not going to be putting money in, and therefore it's going to be bad for markets. But they, but stock markets have been up anyway. That's not, that hasn't been the pattern we've normally seen. And I think that has to do with the fact that we're in earnings season and we're seeing growth in earnings. We saw a couple of quarters of negative earnings growth. Now we're seeing a quarter of positive earnings growth. You know what I think. My people have been asking, when are we going to have the recession? I think we had the recession a year ago. When you look at the entire economy, gross output, the whole thing, it did shrink. And that's when markets were signaling a recession. So I think at this point, we're kind of in the late stage of the recovery from the recession, not teetering on the edge of one.
Interesting. All right. Well, the good news is the gift of data keeps on giving. And so we'll have more to talk about next week, right?
We always will, in person and on the so I guess you're going to be doing your radio show live in Orlando.
I know I won't be, unfortunately. We'll have some best of programs next week, but I will be back on the air on Thursday and Friday, back from the conference.
They're all best of. How can you choose?
When you're on, Jerry, they're all in the best of category.
Just go for Fridays. Just run Friday shows all the rest of the week.
That's exactly right. Hey, safe travels, my friend. We'll see you in Orlando.
Same to you.
All right.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Jerry Boyer. He's president of Boyer Research and our resident economist. All right, let's round out the program here with some phone calls. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I have a question about indexing IRAs. I was advised that I can put my money in an indexing IRA and it won't lose any money. And let's say the stock market goes down or crashes or whatever, I won't lose money, but it also won't grow until a recovery or a change in the market. Would you say that's a good investment to do?
It could be. So it's an index variable annuity, probably, is what you're looking at. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
Okay, yeah. So the annuity is an insurance product that an insurance company will sell you, and you're going to roll your IRA or your retirement account into this annuity. So it's going to be still in a pre-tax environment. And it will allow you to trade some potential gains from market growth in exchange for a level of protection from down markets. So you're not going to get all of the upside when the market's up, but you're not going to get any of the downside when the market's down. Is that a good idea? It certainly can be. I mean, it sounds attractive at face value. Why don't I recommend it for everybody? Well, because that upside that you're giving up a lot of times is what, you know, the really up markets are what give you the good long-term returns. And so you're willing to accept the downside because when you get the full upside, you know, over the long haul, you do better on average. Now, some people, and you might be in this category, will say, listen, I'm just not comfortable from a peace of mind standpoint knowing that I can lose value. I want a floor on the downside, and in exchange for that and the peace of mind that comes with it, I'm willing to give up some upside and lose access to some of my money, meaning, you know, you can't get it back, you know, except for a certain amount each year, and there may be surrender charges in the first, you know, several years of the annuity. And so as long as you're comfortable with that and it solves your goals, because you're the steward, and so it needs to, you know, fit what your needs are. But if that's the case, then this can be a great option. I would just make sure you get at least one second opinion on it, even if you go this direction, because not all annuities are created equal in terms of the performance and also the expenses. I hope that helps you, Nancy. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. Bobby, I would love to take your call. Unfortunately, I am out of time, but we'd love to get you scheduled for a future broadcast. And I apologize we didn't get to your question today. But thank you for calling and for holding very, very much. Our team will pick up the line and see if we can get you scheduled.
Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. I really appreciate you tuning into the broadcast today. Here's my hope and prayer that you found something encouraging and helpful today in your role as a steward of managing God's money. That was our goal, at least. We want to point you back to God, make Him your ultimate treasure, and money a tool to accomplish His purposes. Let me ask you again, if you haven't considered it, perhaps today's the day, would you make a gift to FaithFi to help us bring you this program every day as a listener-supported ministry? You can do it quickly and easily online, faithfi.com. Just click Give. Hey, thanks to my team today. I couldn't do it without them. Jim Henry, Robert Youngblood, Devin Patrick, the amazing crew pushing all the buttons and making all this work. I just get to sit here and talk. I have the easy job. Hey, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.